Welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum. This is the TV room. My name is Mike. I am your host on this, your guide through this little adventure we're taking place on. This is part of the Heroes Asylum podcast network. This is a sideshow for this. It's not that far from a sideshow, really. But what we'll do here is we actually break down some television series, run through episode by episode. Sometimes we just take the full season and play around with it. This one, though, this is four, and since this is our inaugural season of this, we're breaking down Star Wars Clone Wars Season 7, the final season, unfortunately, folks. But before we get started on this episode, I want to do a quick shout out and thank you guys for encouraging this to continue. I did have a small hiccup in our production. One week I had a convention to attend, so I was not able to get this show out like I usually wanted to. I think it was at the third episode, and then of course the fourth episode was not able to either. And then with everything that's been going on in our lovely little world right now, the following episode was on delay as well. So we're going to start doing this every Friday again, back into getting into doing every episode of the Clone Wars. If nobody caught up, catch up with the last season or the last five episodes, last four episodes. Because those are some pretty interesting ones. This is where we are introduced to the Bad Batch. We get to see what happened to Echo after his time being stuck with the Techno Clan and possibly what they've done to him. And then we see that he finds a new family within the Bad Batch, since he is no longer a reg when it comes to the clone soldiers. But it was a pretty good story. It was great to see Anakin and Obi-Wan doing things, seeing Rex again, because I'm a big fan of Rex. Loved him on the Clone Wars, and of course, you know, when he drifted over to Rebels. And of course, if nobody knows, he was in Return of the Jedi. There's a quick couple of scenes with him in there. But we have, so this one's going to pick up with the return of Ahsoka. Now, the last time we saw Ahsoka, she had been exiled from the Jedi Order because of a crime that they thought she committed, but it ended up coming out that she did not commit. And then the Jedi Order is like, oh, we're sorry, why don't you come on back? And at that point, she's like, no, you apparently don't trust me enough to have my back when I need it the most. A few of you did. Her master, Anakin Skywalker, did, of course, but everybody else did not. And there's a small little group of us here in the Star Wars community that we wonder who voted against her. Because you had Jedi Master Plo Koo, you had Yoda, you had Mace, you had Obi-Wan, and I believe Anakin was part of that vote as well. Of course, we know Anakin would not vote against her. So who really voted against her is the big was one of the secrets and answers some of us really would like to get to. So let's get going. I have my Disney Plus queued up. I hope you all do as well. Some of you are in quarantine. So guys, definitely check out Disney Plus. There's so many great ads in here, or not ads, sorry. I mean shows and a series and movies that are on here. So please guys, check it out. But we're going to go ahead and get started on Clone Wars. Find your option. Find it in there. Find season 7, fifth episode. It's called Gone with a Trace. And here we go, getting back into one of my favorite Star Wars characters, Ahsoka Tano. In 3, 2, 1, play. And of course, in true Clone Wars fashion, we get a quick little recap of what happened, and it's kind of what I already talked about. And of course, our quote of the show, if there is no path before you, create your own, which she eventually does. This is sort of a prequel of sorts too, if nobody's ever picked up the Ahsoka Tano, or just Ahsoka, novel that came out, I want to say about 4 years ago, between 2016 and 2017, there were a couple of releases that they did that basically follow Ahsoka after actually what is going to take place in this season. In true Star Wars fashion, they don't do things in order. They do them flipped around. So this is going to lead up to the actual novel that I've read. And if anybody likes to read the some of the Star Wars novels or just novels in general and wants more information, definitely check out that for Ahsoka, because it's a good read. And we're probably never going to truly see an Ahsoka movie. We may see her in live action, but I don't think we'll ever see a true standalone Ahsoka movie. So I think that's going to be the best way for you guys to get your Ahsoka on. Of course, check it out if you guys aren't into reading. They do have the audiobooks for this as well. I don't know if it's the actual actress that plays Ahsoka. Ashley Eckstein. Probably butchered her name. I'm sorry, Ashley, if I did that. So, but even she returned, which was great to see her or hear her, actually. She actually, Ahsoka became canon in live action as well, if anybody did see the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, which I would assume you did if you're listening to this podcast or watching this show, that they covered or at the very end of when Rey's laying there and you hear the voices of Jedi's past coming through. You know, you hear Mace, you hear Obi-Wan. I believe we hear... No, I don't think we hear... not Mace, sorry. Again, I drew a blank on his name. but we hear a few of the other ones. But we also hear Ahsoka's voice towards the end. And Ashley was part of that. So she was excited to be part of the Star Wars Live universe. But here we see Ahsoka stuck in a precarious position, very similar to Obi-Wan in the next series of Revenge of the Sith after he defeats General Grievous. We're also introduced to Trace. This is one of the main characters that's going to be in this story here. And I'm assuming this is the Trace in the title, I think, unless they're playing a double entendre in the title. But Gone with the Trace is here. And this, of course, is not our first view or of us being in level 1313. This is just the first time, I believe, in a long time in the Rebels. Rebels did have Clone Wars did have a few episodes where it took place in the level 1313. For those of you that are not aware, 1313 was actually supposed to be a television series that George Lucas was putting together. I believe it was in the 90s. Not that long ago, I want to say about 4 or 5 months ago, a series of videos came out that were supposed to be like their test footage of 1313. It looked really good, but the cost, from my understanding, was so outrageous for the time that they weren't going to spend the money to do that. But we at least got to see, you know, some of the signs and some of the things that they were doing, which looked, like I said again, amazing. Basically, level 1313 is saying that it is 1,313 levels above the core of Coruscant. So to give you an idea of how tall it is, and then you take into consideration that the upper city of Coruscant is on top of this. I don't know how big Coruscant really is, maybe the size of a basketball. I mean, it's just the size of this to have that many levels, and then on top of that have another level on, you know, the upper city on top of it. This speeder bike that we're going to see here is actually seen a few times, not before this, but we have seen it before. We see those in Rebels, Star Wars Rebels. Ahsoka's not driving these here. We just see these in a few other episodes, so it's not a uncommon speeder bike. This is the first time chronologically we'll see them, but we have seen this before. And here's Ahsoka speaking about, you know, getting out of there. She needs to distance herself really from Coruscant and any signs of the Jedi, anything to do with them. She wants to be away, which I can, you know, if I completely understand that the hurt that she's feeling right now from her friends, you know, turning their back on her. And so far in this series, we have not heard, not this series, but like when I say series, I meant Ahsoka's series. We have not heard the theme. Bad Batch had a special theme. So far, Ahsoka's themes have all been very based on pre-written, well-known John Williams scores. So it's harkening back to Luke in his being lost and not sure where he wants to go. And I think that's what they're trying to do with those scores that they're you know, overlapping on this, which is completely fine with me. It's part of the story. It's part of the overarching Star Wars world that we should have is hear those songs and bring back those feelings of, you know, distance and not knowing where we're going. And then we hear about Trace and her dislike of the Jedi and being separated from the truth. But in a way, they're not wrong. The Jedi are doing certain things and making certain bad decisions. And then, of course, you see, which most people didn't see, but if you watch Clone Wars, whenever they're on Coruscant, you'll see Palpatine talking about how he's like, he's subliminally like telling people to not trust the Jedi, because he's always talking about, oh, the news about the Jedi doing this and this is completely false. The news about the Jedi's doing this and this are completely false. When it comes time to show that they have turned, he can say, well, I guess we were wrong about these stories we had heard, these rumors. And I think it's one of those great twists and shows just more and more of how controlling and manipulative he was as an emperor, and, you know, ultimately as a Sith Lord. Yeah, and here we start seeing Ahsoka hiding herself, hiding who she really is. Not just her name. I mean, she's still using her name. In the novelization, she changes it to Ashla, I believe, is what she tells everybody her name is in the novels. But here she begins to hide her true self, hiding the Force. And, you know, a sign of things to come, really, when the Jedi that do survive the Great Purge, the Order 66, they have to do that. They have to go into hiding and try to discard their Jedi robes and their ways and, you know, their meditation. Although some of them still do meditate. Even Ahsoka does still meditate in her private time. But as far as like losing the lightsabers, losing the robes and your normal Jedi garb. But you see signs here of Jedi training, but also not that far off, you know, some clone training. Because I'm pretty sure that they don't do a nut check in the Jedi Training Academy. I think that's definitely something she learned from Rex. Which, here in a second, we'll hear that, you know, that she's asked, where did you learn this? And she makes reference to an older brother. And really, Rex was her older brother, in a way. I've mentioned this before. I've always looked at Anakin and Padme as her parents. You know, she is a true Skywalker in the fact that she literally was raised by Anakin and Padme. Because there are times that we'll see that Padme brings her along to do something, you know, to go on a mission of, you know, just a diplomatic mission, trying to show her the diplomatic side. So she is truly raised by both of these people. You even see, you know, that sign when she does, you know, she's going through the trial, that even Padme doesn't believe this happened. And here we are introduced to Rafa. This is Trace's sister. She is voiced by Elizabeth Rodriguez. And if anybody's familiar with the Walking Dead or Fear of the Walking Dead series, this is the actress. This is her first time actually doing voiceover for Star Wars. It was really cool. I loved the sound of her voice. When I first heard her start talking, I was like, wow, this really this is somebody that is a true act. Now, you know, I don't mean to take it away from the voice actors, but you can hear like she's probably emoting with her body too. You know, trust me, I don't take anything away from what these voice actors do. If I did, I know a lot of you guys would definitely go after me, especially with, you know, looking at Mark Hamill, who, you know, he really is, his career took off because of live action, but his legacy sometimes will go down to his voice acting career. But what I was saying about Ahsoka and being raised by Anakin and by Padme, honestly, I truly believe that the reason she is such a powerful Jedi and such a rounded person and character is because she just wasn't raised by them. She was raised by Obi-Wan. She was raised by Mace. She was raised by Yoda. She had so many parental figures around her. And then you throw into you know, Rex, again, as an older brother, as she made a reference to, that, you know, she was brought up by him as well. It takes me back to, I'm not going to say it beat by beat, but if you remember like the very first Star Wars, Clone Wars movie, when she meets Rex and, you know, they're having the conversation of, oh, you're a commander. I'm a Jedi, so I outrank you. And he says, no, rank only comes from experience. And so she makes a comment of, well, I guess I better start getting some experience. And you see that bond. You eventually see that bond. You don't see it in Clone Wars, but you see that true bond and that love when you watch Star Wars Rebels, especially when she first sees Rex again, you know, and she wraps her arms around him as if it's a family member, not just a comrade in arms, but there's, you know, a bond there that you don't see in a lot of people. Now, I will have to admit, I don't think I've ever seen these robots before. She makes comment that she's seen them before, but I'm drawing a blank if I've ever seen these before. They are typical Star Wars robots that you'll see running around, that they have the little sensors in the front, but they have an off button, of course, smack in the middle in their nose, which is one of the strangest places to have an off button for an android or a robot of some sort. I actually have a small, tiny robot that does things, and it's like it's off button, so it's on its back, not in its face. But I find that interesting. We are, you know, made reference to the devices that, you know, the restricted devices that stop robots. We've seen those before in all over Star Wars of. R2-D2, C-3PO all had those. You know, one thing I have got to tell you, I think the technology for showing the animation on this is just been immense. I know it hasn't been that long since these series came out, but the quality of these images are so amazing. The hair, the movements, it's just great to see this and how big the world is and just how much detail they're able to put into this now. You could see that definitely during the Bad Batch run, the first four episodes, but this one, you see more and more of it. The facial expressions are much more or stronger, I think, is the best way I can put it. But unfortunately, I'm not an artist or an animator, but I speak to what I like. Now, this episode, guys, is a little short. I understand it's like 17, 18 minutes, which is, I think is completely fine. I think I made a comment when we were reviewing The Mandalorian on Heroes Asylum podcast that I think a story should take as long as a story should. If it's only an 18-minute story, it's only an 18-minute story. There's no need to put in extra stuff, fluff. Tell the story, get out, and you're done. And I know I'm kind of – I kind of reverse my comments about that sometimes because I'm not a big fan of the 8-episode runs or the 12-episode runs. I miss the long 24-hour or 24 episodes in a season because I think sometimes you have to have those fun shows of the campy shows where they're making fun of something or it's just like a clip show sometimes are great. And we've kind of lost that in today's television world, that we've lost that in there. It's really just get in and tell the story. I think in an overall arcing season, you need more of those fluffs. But once you get into a show, tell your story, your one episode, tell that and get out. Again, Mandalorian, jumped from 20 minutes to 25 minutes. It jumped around all over the place. And I thought that I was okay with that. Now we get a throwback I thought was kind of cool here. This is almost, I don't want to say it's a reference to, but it's definitely very similar to the first episode of Clone Wars where they have to scale the mountain to get to this church or monastery up on top of this mountain, and they have to go up vertically. And it's that moment when you start seeing how Ahsoka and Anakin sort of are, in a way, a little similar. Like, they're going to take risks. They're going to have fun about it. And it's almost like a back and forth challenge to see who can do better. And like I said, through this whole thing, it's like Ahsoka, just, you can do it by doing this. Use the Force and do that, do this. And she's trying to hide. She's trying to conceal who she really is. And here we go. We see that moment where she does finally, I have to do this or this person's going to die, this friend of mine. Luckily, only one person notices what she does. Young child. So, of course, in true fashion, nobody's going to believe what the kid said. So yeah, she's basically just, you can see there's moments in Trace that she wants to do good, but she's also got this pull of the family, of her family and her sister bringing her back. And there's almost shadows of what Ahsoka had to go through with her family. And when I say her family, I mean the Jedi, doing the right thing, not doing the right thing, following what the family says. You almost see a scene that sort of reminds me of Solo in the beginning, where him and Kara are talking about trying to get out and what to do, and what's right for them, and just to, because of how destitute they are, and having the money to do this and that, and you sort of see those moments here, and that's why I think we need to see more of this level 13-13, because I think we're so overexposed to the Jedi, to the clones, to who are in the upper levels of Coruscant. I believe seeing more of this and this level and this type of community. We're seeing that in The Mandalorian. I mean, The Mandalorian is got such a huge reaction and everybody loved it. And I think it's not just The Mandalorian's character or Baby Yoda. I mean, they both were very big on it. But seeing that side of the Star Wars universe, we're so used to seeing the Jedi. We're so used to seeing the princesses and the, you know, and again, the Star Wars and Star Wars. We're not seeing the people. And that was the one thing, like, when George didn't make Star Wars, he wanted to show the gritty side of this universe, that it is in the middle of a war. You know, when a community and people are in the middle of a war, certain things aren't as shiny as pretty, and that's what we're sort of seeing here. But there we go, guys. That is episode 5 of The Clone Wars, season 7. I'm hoping, and I think from what I read last time, that we are going to see the return of Ahsoka back into the ranks of working with the clones, and hopefully with Obi-Wan and Anakin next week. This is only a 12 episode run, and I think they have 2 more stories, this one and then one more after that. So I'm thinking this one will run for probably about another 3 episodes, and then the final story will be the final battle of Mandalore. And then, of course, that will also hint into and leading into The Mandalorian, because they talk about, you know, they've talked about that a lot. So we're actually going to see that as well. And there's also been news that sort of dropped this afternoon, and I want to call it news. I'll throw it in the rumor mill that Rosario Dawson is, you know, saying that, you know, they're saying that Rosario was cast as Ahsoka Tano for Mandalorian season 2. But I know Mandalorian season 2 already wrapped up filming. They wrapped up at the end of the beginning of the month. So I'm wondering if maybe they're just doing a quick scene for her and then maybe having her come in season 3. My answer to what I think of it will come in this week's Heroes Asylum, because I have an interesting opinion, or not. I think it's interesting, but I don't know if anybody else would, but about what I feel about this. Of course, you will have Kane there with us for Heroes Asylum. We will release that on Monday, 23rd or 24th, Monday or Tuesday, depending on everything that goes on. But we will also be releasing a new episode of the Midnight Movies. This next week we'll have Thor. Kane and I are also planning, if we can get everything worked out the right way, we're going to do a watch along or watch party on our Facebook page. So if anybody's not on a Facebook page yet, get on it. We're going to do a watch party. Haven't decided what we're going to do just yet. We're kind of still mulling it over because of everybody being quarantined, not being able to see a lot of friends. So we thought it'd be fun to try to do a watch party happening. And maybe we're going to start doing those more often, even after the quarantine's done. See how well this goes. But guys, I want to thank you all for listening, downloading, for the Heroes Asylum TV room. This will be over after we get done with the Clone Wars series. We'll pick up on another episode or another series and go on from there, and we've got some more things coming down the pike for you guys. So I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you. There's a million podcasts out there. You chose to check us out here at Heroes Asylum. Thank you. Good night, and like Kane always says, get to the asylum.